Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, April the 30th, 2026, 12 minutes past the hour. Last day in the month of April, a rainy end to a rainy month, to be sure. Tomorrow, May Day, May the 1st, 2026. Phone lines are open if there's anything you'd like to say this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I do think that this gas situation, again, $4.99 a gallon, as I pass by the Duke station on Route 95 this morning, if gas prices are going to be in the $5 range or top the $5 range, that certainly is going to cut down on travel this coming summer. And I don't know what that's going to do to the economy in general. I noticed that prices have started to go up. If you go to a restaurant, if you order something that maybe you ordered a month ago, now the price is a little higher. Has anybody else noticed that? Has anybody else went and ordered something that they ordered a month ago and now it's maybe 20, 10 cents higher than it was before? You know, that's starting to happen. I think we're starting to see that in the grocery store, and we're certainly seeing that at the gas pump. And boy, $5 a gallon, that is rough. Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And as I've always said, and do want to continue to say, anybody who's listening to this show, if you're running for a political office, or if you don't like something that's being said, you are always welcome to call in as well. I mean, certainly it doesn't just have to be people who agree about what's being said on this show, so feel free to call in. We love to hear from all sides. And all parties, 740-383-9944. But again, I do want to say that the conversation I had yesterday, and I said it in hour number one, with somebody who is clearly a Democrat, talking about the effectiveness of the Ben Weber campaign, was kind of surprising to me. Because, again, I don't think this person has any inkling or indication to vote for Ben Weber, but they just talked about how well they thought his campaign has been run. And you can't disagree with that. You know, I was out of town yesterday for a little bit, and I was surprised driving through Union County, again, how many Ben Weber signs, the big version of the Ben Weber sign, that you see on the side of the road. I mean, they are everywhere. I don't think I saw... Who else did I see? I saw some little signs yesterday. I know I saw a Jason Schauber sign yesterday. I might have saw a Tim Mooney sign yesterday, just inside Marion County. But when you drive through Union and then you hit Marion, it's all Ben Weber in that 86th district. I haven't seen many Stephen Wolf signs at all. I don't know what's happened or what's going on with that campaign, but I don't think it's been good, but here we are, I guess, as time goes along. And again, if anybody's got any thoughts on that, feel free to buzz in, 740-383-9944. But I do want to talk again about Larry Barnett's appearance on this program yesterday. It has been... unbelievable. The response from people to Larry's appearance on the show yesterday, talking about his cancer diagnosis. And I hope that everybody who knows Larry, or maybe even people who don't know Larry, reach out to him and let him know what your thoughts are, or just send good thoughts his way, because it's got to be a very tough time for him and his family. And as I say, that interview yesterday is really why I think you do shows like this, to tell somebody's story. And it's really still even a little hard to talk about today, because I don't know what you say. What do you say about a guy you've known for two decades who comes in and flat out, as you could say, says, you know, I am nearing the end of my life because of a terminal cancer diagnosis. And the doctor has told me I'm around the 6-month mark. You know, how many of us could deal with that? I guess you have to. And I guess a lot of people deal with it. But to have that in your face and then come in and do an interview and be up about it. Boy, oh boy, I just give him a huge amount of credit. And like I say, at the end of the interview, I think I said this earlier, I said, this is not going to be our last interview. I'm going to invite you back on. And he said, I'll be there. Let's do it. And, I really believe that will happen. And I don't know. It was just something. Does anybody have any thoughts on Larry Barnett or the interview yesterday? Or anything else going on in the world, for that matter? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. I'd be interested to hear what is on your mind, to be sure. And I think we're going to have some interesting things coming up on the show tomorrow as well. So you want to listen tomorrow morning. Always something interesting, always something in the hopper. I know there's a big May Day event. No, it's actually not on May Day, because May Day is tomorrow. I believe it's Saturday. I don't have the paper in front of me. Let's take the phone call here, and we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I just wanted to call in and make a comment or a statement, you know me.
Oh, go ahead.
About, you know, kind of the body politics and where we're at with, you know, like the election coming up with Jason Schauber. And I was born in a very Democratic family. I was born left-handed, so I lean left naturally. For me, I've never voted party line. I've always voted, you know, who I thought was the best person. And then later in life, you know, I've been in business for myself and things like that. So I've also seen the other side of the street. And I've kind of come to look at things as I said at the beginning, that it's called the body politics. And just like my own body, I can do things just left-handed. There's a lot of things I can do left-handed, but I struggle doing everything left-handed. So, you know, at some point I included the right hand, which is part of my body. And, you know, working together with my right hand, I'm able to do amazing, amazing things. And, you know, the critical thing is the head in the middle, the brain, that, you know, that thinks that, you know, neither one of that left hand or that right hand can do a thing. Can do nothing without that brain in the middle telling them what to do. So, you know, I'm very careful about just, you know, following somebody's lead or following somebody's statement or whatever. Just like if somebody asks me, you know, hey, will you refer my new business? I mean, if I know you and I know you as a good person, I'm going to kind of say, hey, look at this person. If I haven't used your services, I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to, I mean, I wouldn't expect you to do it for me either. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to vote for Jason Schauber. And I encourage everybody to vote for experience. You know, I'm sure you've all dealt with experiences in Marion, Ohio of hiring these flashy contractors with rats and all this all over. And they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they rob you blind. So, same thing. You want to look at the people. You want to look at who you're, you know, dealing with. And J. Jason Schaffer is going to bring this experience. He's going to bring the courage. He's going to bring the understanding from the years on council to the body politics. You know, we've got somebody running against him, Kristi Neff, who has, by her own admissions, been working behind the scenes in the political arena, and just recently she was like the campaign finance person or something similar for Ms. Larkin. And I believe, and I'm, you know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, I believe there was a mistake made about the financial disclosure, and her response was ignorance of the rules. So she's not new to the game. She admitted, she's been doing this behind the scenes. So do you want somebody in office who's been behind the scenes and already doing it, and they're ignorant of the rules? They're ignorant of the processes. You know, as I said, I encourage us all to think as one, think as a body. We can't get anything done just using our left hand, just using our right hand. We get a little bit of stuff done, but we can do amazing things by including the left and right together and working together.
Well, what do you make of the backlash to Jason, apparently on some certain websites that Naomi was talking about earlier?
I just got in the van. I didn't really hear what was going on, so I really don't know what you're saying as far as the backlash.
Well, apparently there was a website that ran a story on where Jason's money had come from and who had donated to him and so on and so forth.
Okay. I'd have to look into it. Everything's on the open. As I said, I don't really have the particulars of what you're really talking about, so I can't speak intelligently on it.
No, I just heard about it this morning myself, but apparently it was a website ran a story talking about the fact that Naomi, and I guess they referred to her companion as her live-in boyfriend, had donated, and that Ayers Ratliff, I guess, had donated to the campaign, and he's a Democrat, and so on and so forth. And I guess they're, you know...
Is there anything wrong with that?
You know, I don't know, but apparently that was the story, I guess.
Well, I mean, politically, I'm kind of like, what the hell's wrong with that? I mean, where is the story? Because Naomi, I mean, I get it. A lot of people don't like Naomi. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people don't like you or other people. But from my understanding, what I find is a lot of people don't like us because of who and what we expose. So I take all of that as a badge of like achievement. Not everybody's going to be on your team. I think it goes to show that you have somebody, you have a candidate who is attracting both sides of the aisle, as I spoke to earlier. Both sides of the left, right, that the whole body is going to be included in this process, and you know, he's going to be there working as a whole body for you. So I don't really understand where the negative is. I mean, I get like the whole furor with Jason Foreman and it coming out that, you know, he's got a sex offense. But again, see, all of this to me just exposes leadership, or the people they call themselves leadership, and they're running for office, and they want your vote, and they tell you how the other people don't know what they're doing, and they're going to do it right, and they're going to do it better, but they don't even spend the time to find out who their donations are coming from. And to me, I mean, that's a basic rookie move in politics. I mean, if you're going to run in politics, you have to expect that you're going to get every little secret that's ever been... you've ever had drug out of your closet. And if you think you're going to be able to hide it in today's age and today's, you know, social media and people getting pissed off at each other and all that, you're a fool. You're definitely not leadership material.
Well, I think that's what a lot of this was about, was the hypocritical nature that the people who are running these stories on people's campaign finances don't put a name to their Facebook page or their story. They just put it out there under, you know, a false name. And I guess that's that's what bothers a lot of people.
I have zero respect for Cody Higley and his swamp news or whatever the frigate he calls it. I have zero respect for anybody who doesn't put a face and a name behind their words and they don't stand on what they stand on. You know, I this whole thing with OMW, I had made a couple comments on a couple posts a year or so ago, and at some point Jason Foreman, you know, reached out to me and started a conversation. I grew up with his older brother, you know, Scott Lauk and Jeff Lauk, and he wanted me to join and be like the Tracy Cooper rider who used to be part of, and Tracy Cooper was a good dude, so I'm not dragging him at all, but that's what they wanted me to be, and I never wanted to be that. They wanted me to join, and I kept resisting. At one point, Jason was like, hey, I need your picture, so we're going to put you out there. I wouldn't even give him picture because that's not me. I wasn't trying to join, and then he just put it out there. All Phil's a part of OMW, so I kind of rolled with it a little bit. As Naomi said, you know what, and I'm a person, I check everybody's background. If I'm dealing with them, I check with them, because I expect people are going to check me. That's the world we live in. And I never checked on his background. I knew he had ties to, you know, drug addiction and that. My whole thing with that is I wanted to join anybody, and will join with anybody to a degree until I find out otherwise, that who's against addiction. I wasn't about the financial stuff. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying that I'm not about the financial stuff. It fries my brain. And I fight the battles I know how to fight. You know, Naomi's all on top of that, and I support her 100%. And they're not because we were ever great friends or anything like that. It's because, as I tell other people, who say, well, how can you support her? Because I haven't found anything that she has said or done to be incorrect. So it doesn't matter whose mouth it comes out to. It matters the word and the veracity of what's being said and the receipts that are behind them. I found out with Jason and that whole crew, I kept pushing them because their whole thing was we're nonpartisan. We're going, you know, we're just about, you know, helping the people and loving the people. And they had their little private chat. And I was very much the outsider in that. And I stepped up and spoke up. And because I came out or came against Robert Landon in a critique, everybody turned against me. Okay, great, but you should have seen it coming. I kept telling them, we all need to meet. We all need to, like, have a group picnic and sit down with each other, and I want to talk to you. I want to watch you when you're not looking. I want to watch you interact with people when you're not on a stage, when you don't have a microphone in your hand, because that's who you are. And what you do when nobody's looking, that's who you truly are. And that's what I want to see. And they refused to do it. And now I know why. Because they've all got all these little secrets behind. And we all have closets full of skeletons, I'm sure. But it's the type of secrets. And in my opinion, they seem to go after the people that have the same secrets they have.
Well,
it seems very, very hypocritical.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just wanted to touch on one other subject. What do you make of the last few days here before the primary? What do you make of the strength of the Ben Weber campaign? I mean, everybody I talk to, whether they're politically minded or not, has pointed out the strength of his signs, his ads, his commercials, his mailers, the fact that he's getting out and knocking doors like nobody else. What is it about his campaign that has been so strong? And essentially, Weslyn Davis, who I think 4 months ago people thought was leading this race, has almost all but disappeared, except on Facebook. What do you think changed there?
I think you have to be today, in my opinion, in the political environment, nationally and locally, I think you have to be willing to work with both sides unless you just want to continue arguing for another term, everybody, because that's all we're doing. We're at each other's throats, and nothing's getting done other than the rich getting richer as they manipulate the market. I think Ben people, whereas Wesslyn has chosen her, in my opinion, I mean, she's, it's kind of like, again, it goes back to the OMW thing, you know, when they were talking to you and talking to your face, or when they were talking to Bill Collins to his face, or when they were talking to whoever to their face, they were telling those people anything they wanted to hear. You go and sit in these chats with them and listen to what, and I kept telling them, guys, I'm sitting here. I mean, guys, I'm listening. I mean, you're showing me who you really are. There is two-faced, and she thought because they had a flashy little TV or a radio show and they got flashy graphics and they got, you know, the swamp dog or swamp whatever the hell that Cody Higley calls himself. I don't, and, you know, it's all flash and it's all fake. It's, I mean, and to just digress a little bit, you know, I love my city. I love Marion, but, you know, spending all the money, I would hope at some point Bill Collins steps up and says, you know what, I really screwed up on that one, man. I really screwed up spending all that money to do that. And, you know, it just was not a good leadership decision. Doesn't mean he can't be a good mayor. Doesn't mean he can't, you know, still do good things. But we have to say we've done the bad with the good. So I know that's not really the answer to question you wanted, but
no, it's well worth it. Hey, I thank you for being out there and thanks for calling in.
All right, man, have a great day.
You too, bye bye. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 33 minutes past the hour here, WGH talk time. Feel free to give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. The opinion is always welcome, and again, I don't know what's going to happen next Tuesday. I haven't seen any polls that I would say mean a whole lot. And who knows who's going to win these races? Right now, it's all just speculation. What I'm talking about is the perception of what is going on right now in these political races. And I don't know. I truly don't know how that's all going to tick out in the end. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how you doing this morning?
Doing well.
This is Ivan Stithen. Hey, I was listening to you a while ago talking about the cross voting or cross donations from different parties to the candidates on the opposite side.
Yes.
That's not unusual for parties to do that. People in the party, you know, to donate to somebody outside of the party that's a Democrat versus Republican. That's not an unusual thing to do.
Well, why do you think it's made to be a big deal in this day and age?
I think it's a big deal because a lot of people that's talking that and complaining about it or causing controversy about it don't know what they're talking about, don't know the history of the parties. And I'm talking about local parties. And it's very, very common in your upper scales of politics, like in your state and your federals. Sometimes a party, people in a party don't like their own candidates, and what they do is, and they don't do it anonymously either. A lot of them do it, you know, you give it to the board, the candidate, and that's all on paper when they make their declare their politics or their financial report to the Board of Elections.
Hey, being a former city councilman, with us heading into May tomorrow, what do you think of what's where we are as a city right now?
I don't think you're very good shape at all. Yeah, you know, I've listened to a few council meetings and been to a few of them and some of the committees, not like I should, but I've been out of town a few times, so I don't understand how the council operates like they're operating. I don't understand how the council lets the mayor operate like he's operating. When I was on council, we was the check and balance. If the mayor wanted to do it, most generally, he had to get the support of council.
Now, you served with Jack Kellogg on council, didn't you?
Yeah, Jack, good friend.
Yeah, well, I went over and visited with Jack last week, and he's got a big birthday coming up, and we did a little interview with him on here, And basically, he's kind of baffled as well. I mean, he doesn't understand how all this could have happened. And him being a former councilman and former mayor, if he's baffled, that certainly is something.
I don't understand how they're getting away with some of the stuff they're doing. I mean, I might be in the dark. I mean, I might be talking out of scale with everything, but I mean, I don't understand about the finances and not being transparent like they used to be.
Well, what?
I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, no. What do you make of this Fourth Ward City Council situation where we had Twyla Lang resign? She took the treasurer's job. The Republicans had 45 days to appoint somebody to take that seat. They didn't do it. It went to city council. City council voted to put Sean Wilson in there. Sean got in. Nobody vetted him. Within 3 days, he had to resign because he worked for the state, and that's a direct conflict of interest. And so the seat was vacated again. And now, because city council appointed Sean and the voters didn't, now on May 11th, it will go back to council, and council will choose the 4th Ward City Council representative, and now it doesn't have to be a Republican. It can be anybody. I mean, how could that have gotten so screwed up?
I don't know I don't know if that's a law that says they can do that or not. I mean, when I was on council, I was party chair, too, for the Democrat Party, and we never went without making sure we had a Democrat. If it was empty from the council floor and he was a Democrat, we always made sure that a Democrat replaced him, and we had that legal right. And the people that did that was each ward has so many precincts, and each precinct has a representative. So to say you had 8 precinct representatives representing that person that resigned or that position as a Democrat. Those 8 people would recruit and vote for a Democrat in that ward. And then that would go to the chair, and the chair would give that election or that proposal to the president of council. And that would be accepted with no questions, that person representing that ward comes from that ward. So what they're doing now, I've never seen before.
It's different. It's different. How do you feel about the county commissioner race coming up? We've got 4 Republicans, no Democrat in that race, so whoever wins this primary on Tuesday is going to be the next county commissioner. How do you feel about the candidates there?
I don't have nothing to say about the candidates, except the fact I do have something to say about the Democrat Party not having a candidate.
Go right ahead.
We never, I don't understand that. I don't understand why the Democrat Party don't have their candidates out there. How many candidates do they have for council wards coming up? I don't know. I'm talking about the Democrats.
Right. Well, and I think that's been a big problem with the Democratic Party lately, is that they just simply don't run candidates. I mean, last time they only had 2 people running for office, and all council seats were up. Oh, by the way, how do you feel about making council 4-year terms staggered instead of 2-year terms?
I'm old school. 2 years is enough. You don't want 4 in there. They control right now. As an example, is the party that has control today. There's 8 Republicans on council and a Republican mayor. How long do you want them on council? 4 years each? I don't think so. I mean, that's just a complete control factor. That's the only reason they'd want to do that.
Now, the reason they give is that they don't want a council coming in with no experience. Now,
they must be using herself for that example.
Well, I have heard them say that a lot of them have made the remark that it's a big learning curve and it takes a long time to get in the swing of things. Did you find that to be the case when you were on council?
It didn't. I mean, a year maybe or something like that. I mean, if you sit and you go to your council meetings, your committee meetings, and you listen and don't step out there and talk when you're, talking out of school, you learn pretty quick. And the learning procedure is the legal procedures of speaking on council.
That's
what it means. Mainly about.
It certainly is interesting. Well, I'm glad to have you out there, and I'm glad you called in. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Ivan Stitham, a former Marion City Council member. We're glad he called in this morning. And again, the phone lines are open. See, this is fun when we get people calling in and sharing their opinions. 42 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in. We'd love to hear from you. It's always well worth the time to hear what people have to say. But again, I go back to the $5 gasoline. If you drive a car, it impacts you. If you fill up a lawnmower, it impacts you. $5 a gallon gasoline. Goodness gracious. And you know what I've never seen is the steepness and the quickness of the incline of those prices. I mean, gosh, late February, gas was somewhere around $2.50 a gallon. And here, the last day of April, it's nearly $5, $4.99. How's that going to impact people this summer, which is right around the corner? Memorial Day, the official start to summer. I don't know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in. Again, we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate all perspectives on all things here on this program. And again, the topics this morning, I think, are ranging from gas prices to the campaign of Ben Weber, because you've got to give somebody credit when they're running a good campaign. You know, for whatever he's doing, he seems to be doing it well. Even people, as I said, who probably will not vote for him, are giving him credit for how he's running his campaign. And then the Larry Barnett appearance yesterday. You know, I really hope people had a chance to listen to that and hear what Larry had to say. And I do think it helped a lot of people yesterday to hear that story of a terminal cancer diagnosis. Goodness gracious. You never know, do you? You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And it does kind of put a lot of things into perspective. You know, we spend so much time fighting with each other and going back and forth, and then you hear a story like that and you say, you know, things really aren't all that bad. Now, where will city council go from here? I don't know. We haven't heard back from the state yet. I still think that's a big talking point. This gubernatorial primary, will Casey Putch get more than 10% of the vote in that Republican primary? I don't know. I would say not, but if he does, that's going to be a big warning sign for Vivek Ramaswamy. And when I saw, I think I mentioned this earlier in the week, when I saw people posting on social media that they had contacted the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, to see if Vivek was able to run for governor, essentially if he was a citizen of the United States, I'm thinking, you know, here we go again. I mean, his parents were not from here, I don't believe, but I don't think there ever was a doubt. I mean, Vivek is from Cincinnati, that he was from America. And I'm not even sure, what are the rules for running for governor? I'm not even sure you have to be a natural-born citizen of the United States to run for governor. Now, to run for president, you do. But a legalized citizen, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger certainly was not a natural-born citizen of the United States. He became governor of California. That's more of a residency thing. So I don't know. I don't even know what the point of that was. See, and again, that comes back to, is this about not liking Vivek Ramaswamy's policies, or is this more in the discriminatory area? that people don't like Vivek. I don't know. And you know what? His name may be a problem. Because there are people who I have talked to who plan to vote for Ramaswamy who still, after hearing him on television for a year now, still can't pronounce his name. You know, maybe that's a big problem. I don't know. 47 minutes past the hour here. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in. We'd love to hear what is on your mind this morning. Should mention, Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes on when I go off today. 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. And then we've got Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 to 1. So you won't want to miss those shows. I did pass by the Culver's location out in front of Meijer this morning. Looks like they're making a lot of headway there. Actually, I saw a driveway that had been created where now, if there were a parking lot there, and there's not a parking lot there now, but if there were a parking lot there, you would be able to pull from the Meijer parking lot into that spot. Looks like it's going to be, you know, there's a lot more area there than I thought there was between the Meijer entrance and the Tri-Rivers Adult Education Center. So I think they're going to have a good amount of land there for this Culver's. Now, as far as the Starbucks goes on this side of town, I was talking to somebody the other day. Won't that make three Starbuckses on this side of town? I mean, there's one in the hospital. There's one at Kroger here on Delaware Avenue. And then there's going to be this freestanding one. Are any of the other Starbuckses going to close? Has anybody heard what the plan is there? I can't imagine that they would close the one in the hospital. I think that does a lot of business for people visiting the hospital and for people who work in the hospital. But I don't know about the one in Kroger, and I don't know how the freestanding one will impact that. I do believe that the Starbucks on 95 has been hurt by 7 Brew. You certainly see a different line there in the morning than you used to see. So that's interesting on a lot of levels. And what else? Oh, we got the Goodwill Center being built out here where Hills used to be. And boy, that looks like that's going to be a mammoth building. We've heard about the Kroger gas station now that's going to be built on Route 95 in front. We've been told that it's going to be built in the parking lot of where Kroger is now in the Eastland Town Center. I don't know if there's enough parking lot out there to do that, but I'm sure somebody's roped it off and measured it. So we'll see how that's going to go. Does anybody have any thoughts on this construction and new business coming to the Marion area? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 50 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, and it's always good to hear from you, the listening audience. And then we've got Wits down here, which opened not too long ago on Church Street, and a couple other new restaurants there. I don't know if a lot of people are going there or not. Hopefully they are. I think we all hope that businesses are able to generate the business they need to continue on. So that's where we are. And again, we've got about 9 minutes left in the program, so if anybody wants to weigh in on anything that we've talked about today, feel free. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I got a little information here for you that is really interesting. It is out of a magazine I got this week. It said this was in 1978. The yearly average income was $17,640. The minimum wage was $2.65. The cost of a new home was $55,700. A postage stamp was 15 cents. A gallon of gas was 67 cents. Apples were 29 cents a pound. A box of Cheerios was 69 cents a pound. A dozen eggs was 59 cents. 5 pounds of potatoes was 98 cents, and a movie ticket was $2.34.
And what year was that?
78.
78. And now here, we're about to approach $5 a gallon gasoline.
Yeah. Well, the other day, I went across town, and I seen it was over $4, and so, because I always shop here at Motomar on Prospect Street, used my card, and I paid $3.86. And across town, it was $4.19 at that time. So, but I always said you have to wait until the price of gas goes way up so that you get a better grade of gas for your lawnmowers.
Well, it's certainly up right now.
Well, I'll bet you $5 that people still hauling their kids to school.
Well, they are, but do you think it's going to impact travel? I can't imagine that people will be able to travel as much as they have in the past if gas is $5. I mean, that's almost 100% increase just since February. That's an amazing number.
You go out there on the highway and see how many people stayed home. That's because they have that little plastic thing.
Well, that's true. But the problem that I think is happening, I have noticed that restaurants I've been to in the last 2 or 3 weeks, if I order the same thing that I ordered a month ago, it's a little more expensive. Now, it's not a huge amount. It's maybe 10, 20, 30 cents. But, you know, that's because it's taking more money to get from here or there. So the highways are staying busy, but, you know, it's costing, somebody's going to eat that cost.
Well, that's true. And the $5 special used to get at McDonald's, now it's $6. Ain't that just a bear?
Right. And I honestly, if you are a high school kid and you're about to be out for the summer, and you want to go down to Zumbezi Bay, or you want to go to the Columbus Zoo, or you want to go to Cedar Point, or you want to go to Put-in Bay, all these places, you know, an hour, 2 hours away from here that people like to go, and they can do in a day trip. You know, you're not going to be able to do that 2 and 3 times a week if you get a season pass if gas is $5 a gallon. I mean, a trip there and back, depending on what kind of car you drive, could cost you $50.
Well, what's your season pass going to cost you?
Well, I don't know if the prices have went up on those or not, but the gas alone would kill you, I would think. So
I'll guarantee you, kids are still driving to school instead of getting on the bus, though. So.
Well, I do think locally it doesn't have a big impact. I think if you know, like for example, from where that gas station is on 95, where the gas is $4.99 this morning, to the gas station right here next to the radio station, where the gas is $4.65 this morning, that is 0.9 miles. So not even 1 mile. Now, people think that's a long distance, but it's really not. It's not even a mile. So people will continue to drive that. So I don't think we'll see an impact on the roads in Marion, Ohio. I think what we will see is an impact where people have to drive an hour.
No, the impact is what you're going to pay for a bag of potatoes.
Well, you'll see that too, yeah.
That guy driving that semi isn't going to donate his time.
No, and I think that's going to be a big part of it as well, but
How could it? What's the reasoning it could ever jump like that? I mean, that's not pennies.
Well, it's all to, you know, there's a lot going into this, but mainly it's dealing with Iran and the Strait of Hormuz and tariffs that are being charged and people who own oil companies getting very nervous because of what's happening. And that's what's spiking this. I mean, you can almost go back to the day that we attacked Iran to see the gas prices start to go up. And it's just panic on their behalf because they don't know what the end result's going to be. You know, it's a lot of instability. And I don't know that we're going to turn that around anytime soon. Now, I thought, and I still think we do have reserves here in this country, that could help this. Now, why we haven't started to use those, I don't understand.
Well, why don't we have oil in Alaska?
I thought we've had reserves in a lot of places.
So why, I mean, I don't know. All I know is I'll guarantee you how many kids that are within walking distance of school, I'm saying within walking distance. I had a sister-in-law that used to live on Florence, which is over off of David Street. She walked to Harding. She always walked to Harding, and it didn't matter how deep the snow was, because at that point, they still went to school. But she walked that far. Now, we worry about these kids and the physical fitness and playing baseball and softball and soccer and everything, but they can't walk to school. I just, and I know it's a weird world out there, but when I look at what the prices were, and I was raising three kids, and I was a stay-at-home mom in 78. And we still ate, but if we went to Ponderosa for a real treat, we all got chopped beef. One kid didn't get steak, and another kid got this, and another kid got... So it's just all how you take... But I just wanted to share that with you,
well,
what
no.
the price of gas was in 78.
I appreciate it. Hey, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, you know, I do want to say, I don't know where we're going to be here as a city with the auditor of state plan. We talked about that earlier. Is that going to be accepted? Is it going to be rejected? I don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't know a lot about right now. And maybe we'll find out as time goes along. But, boy, oh, boy. We got an election coming up on Tuesday, a primary. We've got a lot of things up in the air, a lot of questions, and not a lot of answers right now. And what's going to happen? Has anybody asked themselves this? If the state rejects the city's plan, the state auditor rejects that plan, where do we go from there? Can they submit another plan? Does the state take over the city? You know, what impact is that going to have? Then we're not going to be talking about a lot of things because the state's going to come in and they're going to say this is the way it's going to be. Now, the mayor indicated a few weeks ago that he did not want that to happen, but that could be a possibility if things are not done that need to be done. So, where are we headed? I don't know. I know where I'm headed. I'm done for the day, but I'll be back tomorrow. Do want to remind everybody, Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 10:15 to 12 noon today, and Adam the Computer Guy, 12:15 to 1. I certainly do appreciate the phone calls this morning, and I appreciate everybody who listens in the audience. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll do it again for 5 hours tomorrow morning. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.